It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the RBN Network. Now, we're here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's Pacific time. It's 9 o'clock. So you've been up a couple of hours more. Maybe you know more than I do. Today, you can share with me. 1-800-313-9443, because we're going to be talking about, are we in a police state? Well, you know how you know? You know when the left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party is, on you. That's how you know. And you can share your stories with us. I mean, I want some personal stories. Now I want some personal. You know when you got jackbooted. So, you go ahead and call in, and if you got some extra goodies, you go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedoms with an S, phoenix.com, and you'll see a lot of goodies there. Now we're going to, in this short segment, I just want to introduce what we're going to be doing. Now, there's a friend of mine, Eric. He'd go by Eric Cartridge. Go ahead and turn on Eric's mic. Eric, just define who you are. I mean, how much are you willing to say about what you do and what your livelihood is and everything so they can target you?
What? You mean I want the police state to target that? I mean, well, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My name's Eric Cartridge. I'm one-third of the Cartridge Family Band. We started out as a political activist band doing songs about gun rights and the police state and things like that. I work in the advertising field. I mean, I can say that. But, short of that, I won't say too much because most of my clients and whatever are a bunch of Obamianists.
This could
cost me money.
He deals with Hollywood. We'll just say that.
Well, it's more corporate America, but same thing.
Yeah. I'll tell you, we'll get into it. And the one thing that I wanted to make sure that you understood is that it's all about how many minds you can free. And if you're trying to free minds, there's somebody else trying to enslave them. And this crossover, this is where Eric's at, He makes his livelihood, his money, on a lot of these people that are trying to enslave the mind. So you get to kind of look behind the veil, you're going, holy crap. So this is where he's coming from. So not only is he a freed mind, but a freed mind in an industry to where they're doing their level best to unfree you, it makes you a little sensitive to stuff that's going on and you get to see it. Now, let's go. I went to Wiki just now, for grins and giggles, and we'll define what a police state is. Well, a lot of people, Wiki may not be the best determination, but, let's go ahead and see what they have to say just for grins and giggles. The term police state describes a state in which the government exercises rigid and repressive controls over the social, economic, and political life of the population. Yeah, we're doing pretty good so far.
Win. There you go. Okay, it's a police state.
Okay, we're getting there pretty good. A police state typically exhibits elements of totalitarianism and social control. And there is usually little or no distinction between the law and the exercise of political power by the executive. Oh, what that means is they can put you in Guantanamo, call you enemy combatant, boom, you're whisked away and gone, no habeas corpus because we don't like it. We used to make fun of countries that had these kinds of powers. I remember when I was in grade school and so on, the reason they're bad is because they're doing exactly the same stuff that we're doing now. And there are people like our friend Alan Corwin that came in and we had a nice long discussion. And he's part of the same band as Eric. So these discussions going back and forth that we had there are going to be countered today. We get, because Eric wasn't available for that show, it would have been great. And we'll get them both in soon. But today, we're going to have the other side. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Republic Broadcasting Network from Freedom's Phoenix Studios. Now, what we're going to do today is my wife, Donna, yesterday after our 25th wedding anniversary, it was so nice. I love you, baby. And she's coming in, and she's been doing a lot of work with Jet, learning how to do the board, because sometimes Jet might need to go do something like today. What are you going to be doing today, Jet?
Well, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the you know, the group that's supposed to be about tolerance, that's really labeling everybody as you know, hate mongers that doesn't think like them. The mayor of Phoenix actually invited one of the heads of the Southern Poverty Law Center to come speak to the media and the police. And
about what?
About, you know, the rise in terrorists, you know, white Al-Qaeda and, you know, all that good
jazz. White Al-Qaeda? Where'd you come up with that one?
Well, you know, white Al-Qaeda is like libertarians, you know? That's what I call it. That's what Alex Jones calls it. So
really? White Al-Qaeda. That's a good one. I like that. Good one, yeah. Alex. You know, the thing is that we've been tracking this because when they first put that in the newspaper, they had the local newspaper, there's a Republic. And do you remember the reporter's name? Because you had to call him trying to get this. And what happened was it a guy or a girl?
It's Yvonne Winget.
Now, Yvonne, you know, she did this story. So we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. Hey, Southern Law Poverty Center. It was a couple weeks ago,
at least.
Yeah,
it was the 24th of July.
So
nothing
else. We're like, well, we'll be there. We can't wait. But the problem was you couldn't find any information.
Nope.
You know, what did you have to go through to even find out that they were actually going to do it?
I called her. I called everybody. And then finally, it was only released yesterday afternoon, which is in the function is today. So, you know, I kept after them and finally got some information. They emailed it to me right away, and I'm ready to rock.
You know, the thing is that, you know, it's a invitation-only kind of closed thing. Like, you got Drew Phillips with you. He's going to go down with the camera, and we're going to get you down there. And you're just, you know, you're not really experienced in doing this kind of reporting and investigative out, so you're going to be the best guy for it. You're just Joe Schmo on the street going, yo, what's up?
I've never done it before, and I'm excited about it. I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm doing it, and I would encourage everyone that wants to do it too to get out there and confront these people. You know, it's not about violence; it's about asking real questions.
Well, what do you think the Southern Law Poverty Center is coming here for? What's their function? What are they doing?
Well, they say there's a big rise in the white supremacist groups and the militias. You know, the word that they've bastardized. Everybody.
Are you bringing a gun like that guy in New Hampshire?
Well, I'm sort of on probation for a marijuana charge, so I won't be carrying a gun today, but if I wasn't, I sure would.
You know, and the thing is, though, is that we had a spot, you know, Eric, my guest today, he put up an article about this gentleman that was on Chris Matthews last night, and the media was so freaked out that somebody would bring a firearm to a protest, and here in Arizona, we don't go to protests without firearms. You want to protect your First Amendment, you're strapped on. I'll tell you what happens. They're a lot nicer, you know, and here in Arizona, they know that, you know, it's legal and you really want to play this game. And what's happened is Chris Matthews was so freaked out. And I think I figured out why, because they know they're first in line. They're the mouthpiece. You know, they're the court jester. You know, so they're the sportscaster for the rigged game. So what's happened is, because you go to a lot of these things, and these guys are sitting up there on a stage where it's open in the back. They can't see all around. They don't have that much security. People are crowding all around them, protest signs, and they're starting to get scared.
Sometimes a good offense is the best defense.
You know, well, the offense needs to be peaceful. Because the thing is that, you know, they want you to be violent. They want you to start brandishing. They need that. It makes them seem like, you know, justified in their positions. So when you go there, just go and ask all the questions. We're going to have this. So I bet Drew's going to have this as a YouTube, you know, within, I don't know, nano moments after this is done. Today we'll have it up, and it'll be just what happened. What happens when the real media, none of this lapdog press kind of stuff, the real media, not the lamestream media, not the media so last century, when the real media shows up and says, you know, yo, what's up? Yeah. Oh, and you're a big, you're a bald guy.
Oh, yeah.
You skinheader.
Oh,
they're
going
to see, they're going to see you coming.
Oh, man. I just wanted to clarify something. What I meant by a good, you know, a good offense is the best, you know, thing for a good defense was Chris Matthews. You know, he's worried, and he went after the gentleman carrying the gun. I wasn't talking about the gentleman carrying the gun.
No, they think that, you know, they're going to go after him. They're going to shame you into, and the guy held his own. He's like, hey, we're not Massachusetts, we're New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. You know, we always carry guns around here in Arizona. It's very common too. Eric always has a firearm with him. You know, I have one handy dandy whenever I think I might need it. So we're good. Thanks, Jet. You guys go have
Thank
fun,
you.
Man. Make sure you get back to us because this is going to be interesting. And this is kind of stuff that we do. And you have the same opportunity in your area. You know, the what I want you to do is make sure that you have you take advantage of every opportunity that you get to go and just question the man. Can I ask a question? Can I please ask a question? No. No, that's the definition of police state. You know, it goes on in Wiki. It says the inhabitants of a police state experience restrictions on their mobility. Checkpoints, thank you very much, and on their freedom to express or communicate political or other views, which are subject to police monitoring or enforcement. Political control may be exerted by means of a secret police force, which operate outside the boundaries normally imposed by a constitutional state. Wow.
Checkmate. We win. It's a police state. We meet, you know, the United States meets every one of those criteria, and that's just Wikipedia. That's not a libertarian site. That's, you know, the generic definition of a police state.
Now, what we did today, if you go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and you go to this show's archive. Now, what we did is, hey, we're going to be talking about the police state today. And I just put up, you know, here's some of the headlines, just the stories today and yesterday. Just a few. I just said, okay, we'll just put these headlines up. You go in there and you'll see these. Will Americans follow orders to take flu shots? I don't know. Maybe we'll make them.
Not me.
What happened? You know, we'll see. You know, are they going to, you know, coerce you into it? Then corruption beneath the surface. Now, this one is about Sybelle Edmonds was a translator for the FBI just before and after 9/11. Now, she was, you know, man, they, you know, Ashcroft says none lips shall pass your lips about what was really going on. Because what they didn't anticipate is that all these recordings that the FBI were making of targeted individuals and their terrorist list and all this other stuff in Turkish and Arabic. She speaks a lot of languages. She was listening and deciphering them. You know, she was translating.
Yeah, somebody has to.
Somebody did. You know?
Right, so somebody knows.
And she goes, wow. Here's congressmen talking to these people. Here's deals being made by, you know, you got them targeted, and all of a sudden they got some congressmen talking to them. There's drug deals being made. Bin Laden was on the payroll until 9/11. You know, all this stuff, revelations, huge, big, giant stories, because what happened is she finally got able to give some testimony because, as I understand it, there was a race in 2008. A congressman was running against another guy that came out with some revelations in the campaign saying, you're part of a blah, blah, blah. So he sued him. He said, no, you can't. Well, what do? They get depositions from Sybelle Edmonds that listen to the tapes. So she is called, subpoenaed to testify, and they're going, the FBI going to come in, swoop her up, get her for whatever. Finally, you know, they do it, and it's an Ohio case. She gives a deposition, talks about all this stuff. Where do you see it in the media?
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Why? Nobody ever asked why. You know, here you have an FBI translator of these, you know, whatever your views on wiretaps are. You know, we got these wiretaps. Okay, we got them. Now they incriminate what really happened. And we don't want to talk about that one.
No.
Then next one, internet security, Obama's cookies breaking the law. Now, this is them coming into your computer. Now, this is this cash for clunkers thing.
Oh,
if you go and apply for that, you know, just by you hit the button, if you didn't read the agreement, it says, we own your computer now. You know, we can do whatever we want with your computer. You said right here, you got your $4,500. Oh, and then you go on Freedom's Phoenix. There's another story. This is amazing. They have all these cars are showing how they have to destroy the cars. And there's a video here. It's how to disable a cash for clunkers car. And I'll give you, you know, Brock Orber from Las Vegas put this up, and it was sad. I mean, this is what Peter Schiff was talking about. You know, they're doing the same thing to perfectly good cars. You know, these are, you know,
they
functional
run.
Cars.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how new they are. It's just you want to trade it in. You get, you know, a deal and tax write-offs and this and that and so on, all kinds of stuff to take your car. This is what they do. And they show this nice Volvo. Here they're doing this. Okay, this is what they do. Obtain a solution of 40% sodium silicate, which is, I guess, liquid
it's
glass.
Gloppy liquid stuff.
Yeah, it's sand, okay? And you put in 60% water. Then you drain the engine oil for environmentally appropriate disposal.
Of course.
Install back the oil drain. I mean, you know, they're really getting anal here, you know. Put the oil drain plug back. Then you go in, you pour the solution in, and then you start the engine, and you run it until it seizes. Destroy the car so it will never pollute again. Just the manufacturing of the other car, the dismantling of this, creates more pollution than the car would ever do. So I'm just going, you know, you guys are killing me. And it's like them plowing under fields during the Great Depression.
Yeah, with perfectly good crops in them, just to keep the price
killing
high.
Killing livestock. This is the stupidest of the stupid that you could imagine.
Well, here's another question.
The Department of Defense pushing for domestic military control. We got, you know, it just goes on and on and on about all the things that are happening. And that's just in the last day. In the last day, 24 hours. Well, you want to know, are we in a police state? Damn Skippy. And we're going to talk about it. We come back on Declare Your...
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you. I've got to break free.
Yeah! Got to break free here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every weekday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. RBN Network Central Standard Time from Phoenix, Arizona, here at Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com studios. And I'm in studio with a good friend of mine, Eric, I've known for a long time. Over a decade at least. And what's happened is we've kind of crossed paths on so many. We have our own interests that we do. And a lot of times we'd be at different early in protests and such, and the Cartridge Family Band would be there doing something, having a good time. Now, the lead singer of the Cartridge Family Band is Alan Corwin that we had in. He's a Second Amendment expert. I mean, the guy knows his business on there. But, you know, he's still – we got to have a government, man. Government good. You know, if we're in charge kind of deal. And it's so we have interesting conversations. Eric and I are far more, you know, if we had to choose between what we got now and none, anarchy, oh, man, it's not even a choice. Can we have none? Can we have none of this? Police state, can I have none? You know, I vote none. And because what's happening is, you know, some of the other stories that we're putting up, White House plans to track government websites and the visitors to them. You go to government website, boom, tracked. Well, what, you think that's not happening now? I mean, please. And then we have Chuck Baldwin is a columnist for Freedom's Phoenix, too. A lot of you guys probably don't know that. Chuck's been with us for a long time, even before the 08 campaign. Why are internment camps being built? You know, a lot of people say FEMA camps, they're not. The heck they're not. You know, heck, we have him here, Jet, that just went out to Southern Law Poverty Center. He went to Florence, I think it was, here. It was reported, and he goes, well, I'm going to go down there and take a look. Took pictures. There it is. You know, this is not hard. You know, Homeland Security office there with a bunch of barbed wire sticking in. You know what I mean? Turning the U.S. Army against Americans. Really? An anti-war activist has been accused of spying for the U.S. Army, raising legal questions the Obama administration must answer. You know, blah, 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 goes on about. And this is British papers. You know, there's a lot, you know, Britain's got big-time problems. And we got Devi Kidd doing a story on health care reform and how Congress doesn't have the authority to legislate this stuff. And you read the health care bill. You know, these people, they don't read it. You know, a bunch of us, we actually read it. You can't get past the first paragraph before you go, oh, man, we're so screwed. You know, it's amazing stuff. Now, here's breaking news. Military to administer vaccinations. Total control of America about to occur. Here it comes. Shock. Inside the healthcare bill part two, and it goes on, you know, different things like page 503, lines 13 and 19. I mean, this is how detailed we're getting. Government will build registries and data networks from your electronic medical records to do what? You know, good stuff, I'm sure. You know, we're going to take care of you. You know, if you're, they think you're too old and too ill, too frail by whatever standard it is, you can't get hip replacements. Oh, but you need a hip replacement? I'm sorry. Oh, you look kind of lame. And I mean, it's that bad. We try and make light of it here because you just go crazy in another way. But the thing is that, you know, the question has been, it's been ongoing debate with people like Alan is, you know, I'd say he's a good friend. I mean, I wouldn't say he's a bad, malicious guy, but man, if he, and you've known him a long time, Eric, but he's so representative of people that are so invested in the system. Now, him, his livelihood doing these gun books is a lot to do with sales and so on, his relationship with the NRA. And the NRA, you might as well just call them, you know, National Republican Apologists, okay? So the thing is that, you know, his incentive is totally different. So from ours, the battle back and forth has been interesting, and Eric and he have had an ongoing email exchange. Are we in a police state? So we're going to, you know, share that with you here because Eric wasn't available. He was in New Mexico on, you know, getting ready.
Well, and to be fair to Alan, I think he's a true believer. It's not strictly for his pecuniary gain that he takes the position that, well, we need a government and government has to do this. He really believes that. So, you know, it's
I'm not sure that's any better.
Well, no, it isn't. It makes him harder to convince, and you know, but I've been working on it for a few years.
Well, go ahead and, you know, what is the base argument of your discussion? Now, and I think it's instructive for people on this network because you need to understand that it's always an argument over what kind or brand of social and economic engineering. And I'll give you an example. At the top of the page, tomorrow we're going to have Robert Prechter from Elliott Wave on the show tomorrow afternoon because he predicts a lot of these stock things, you know, and he, from a different perspective than like Peter Schiff or Ms. Shedlock or a lot of these other guys that are accurate too. He does more of an organic approach. That's a long story and we'll talk about it tomorrow, but it'll be a very interesting show. And he says, Ernie, I got to send you this story. Could Labor turn into a liberal party after Gordon Brown is beaten? Now, what they're talking about is Labor Party in Great Britain is going so far down the dark side. They kind of, you know, the left and progressives and all that. They're starting off. They want to get rid of Brown. They're going to offer a libertarian platform. This is what happens. The pendulum swings. They're going, you know, we're for the common people kind of thing. And all of a sudden, they're starting to go, it has gone so far into the police state. Here you have people, an entire party in Great Britain, no less, the police state capital, where they have more closed circuit television cameras spying on their people than China. I mean, just in London, it was millions of cameras like 4 years ago. This is how bad it is. And so when you have that kind of equal and opposite reaction, is they're springing back the other way. Well, we'll talk about more when we come back in just a little bit. We're getting to the meat.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back here to 1 p.m. on the RBN Network. Now, that's Central Time. We're in the West here. Right now, it's, it's earlier, whatever time it is, 9:30. And we are talking about, are we in a police state yet? Well, I want to give Eric, man, he's ready to go. All right, we're in a long 18-minute segment here. We won't interrupt him. We'll go for it. But I want to make this one point. The health care discussion right now, those that are in favor of government having some role in this kind of stuff, you're going to have, at the end of this thing, there is going to be a health care bucket. They're going to create a bucket to put all your money in, whatever percentage that they can get out of you. And whatever they say it is now, it's going to be more later. I guarantee flipping to you that one. Okay? So you're creating this healthcare bucket and you go, no. We don't want a red healthcare bucket. We want a blue healthcare bucket. And that's one thing. Isn't it red supposed to be Republican? Isn't that kind of communist red? I don't know. I kind of just thought of that. Anyway, so you have a red bucket. Now we want it red. And it's going to be, have like little elephants around the top of the bucket. And the handle's going to be, really comfortable and everything. But they're going to get their bucket. And they're going to take your money. They're going to put it in the bucket. And they're going to say, we win. Compromise. It would have been a lot worse if we didn't have, a big say in how we created this new bucket to take your money. And then we'll pour it into our bucket later. Okay? So I'm just saying, you, as a businessman, you're looking at this very closely because you're going to get nailed with this bucket percentage. So tell
absolutely.
Us, so tell
yeah,
me
absolutely.
About this bucket.
Well, there's three versions of the bucket, okay? If you're a large employer, you get to put your money into the 8% bucket. Basically, it's an 8% payroll tax on your payroll, whatever you pay all your employees. If you don't provide them with the government-mandated approved plan, type of health insurance plan. If your payroll is under $400,000, it's a 6% bucket. You pay a 6% tax into the bucket. And if you're an individual that just refuses to buy insurance for whatever reason, you pay a 2.5% tax on the bucket.
Okay, now wait, okay.
Into the bucket.
Yeah,
right.
this starts making sense. All right. The federal government is going to create a tax. For in the name of fill in the blank, this one's healthcare.
Well, either you buy their mandated plan, thou shalt buy this plan, and remember this 1,000-page bill has a billion rules about what kind of plans can be offered and, all this stuff, basically bringing doctors and everybody under the government flag.
And I'm sure all the congressmen voting on know exactly what it says.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. But so, yeah, you're forced as an employer. Either you put you and all your employees on the government plantation with their plans, or you pay a tax to them.
Even if you have your own, if you don't get their plan, you're going to be penalized. Now, what if you have your own insurance or self-insured or catastrophic insured, or it's not approved by their thing? They're still going to tax you?
Well, this is what I know right now. This is Obama keeps making this argument that you'll be able to keep your doctor and this and that and the other thing. But the way they've got the financial incentives in the plan, they're gradually going to take everybody onto the plantation.
Doctors, everything.
Doctors.
You work for the government.
Everybody. You'll have to because, how can the private, they'll make all these rules.
I know where this is going because we've had friends that have gone through this. If you go to freedomsphoenix.com at the top and throughout the page, you'll see an advertisement, feel good about you, plastic surgeon. Okay. Now that's Dr. Rick Fisher, a friend of ours for 15, 20 years. And how we knew about Dr. Fisher was he wrote in an article, an op-ed to the Wall Street Journal that they published. And we read it and we go, wow, man, this guy's cool. This is back in the early 90s. And we looked him up because he was a Sun City doctor. And he's a younger guy. He was in his 40s then and so on, but he did geriatrics. And so you're obviously a Medicare, Medicaid kind of stuff he's dealing with. And he was Canadian. He moved here from Canada because of the socialized medicine. He and his wife were both doctors at the time. They came here, two doctors, and set up a practice, said, we're getting out of this. It's bad. There's no – the relationship between doctor and patient is evil. You're working for the state. They're not giving health care. We're going America. We're going to go America. So they came here to Sun City, started practicing. It got so bad, and the regulation and the incentives, and it was so evil, he said, I'm done with this. And he went and he studied to become a plastic surgeon, making older people look better, because it wasn't regulated. You know, it's elective surgery. It's, you know, it's cash. You know, you want your arm flabs and your eyelids and this, the whatever, work over the cash.
Yeah.
So that's why he left this. This is what's coming here. And you're going to be where Obama, as I'm telling you, this is going to be as far as the executive level. They're going to mandate this kind of stuff. It's going to be directed from the top. This is collectivism at its worst. When the government has an interest in your body, they have an interest in you dying. You're living too long. You know, we're this baby boomer generation, man, we have to kill you over. We got to give you like a shot or something.
Hey, the whole drug war is based on the we own your body premise. You know, it's the same thing.
So how is that going to affect you as a small businessman? I mean, because it's just you and your wife.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, we have health insurance now. We have a high deductible health savings account, $10,000 deductible kind of a plan. But it's my understanding, as you look at their rules, that those will be phased out. They will no longer be legal. It won't be considered an approved plan if you have that high of a deductible or you have a health savings account. That won't be approved any longer. And what happens is, I don't know if you have your own insurance or your own business, but for those that don't, your premiums go up every year, usually between 15% and 20%. Okay. And eventually, there's also a provision, eventually it gets too expensive, and you have to change plans. You know, you get a...
In this health care bill?
No, no.
Just
right now.
This
is the way it is right now. If you don't change insurance companies every 3, 4, 5 years, you'll have triple the prices you did when you start out. So people are forced to change from one plan to the next.
It's because health care just keeps getting more expensive.
Well,
or
that's
they just
part
keep...
of it. Part of it is it's the insurance company's way to weed out sick people. Because you can't change plans once you have a pre-existing condition or you've had an operation.
Okay.
So, but what the Obama plan does is it says that, he says in his speeches, you may keep your current plan. You may see your current doctor. That's true. But once it gets too expensive and you have to change over, you won't be able to change over. Then you're on the government plantation. That's how they get you. And then you can either pay the tax. I can go, well, you know, I have a pre-existing condition, so I can't afford it. I just have to pay the tax, and then I'm on the farm.
Okay, now when you talk about the health savings account, okay, I remember when that was a big deal years ago, and they came up with, you know, can't we please have this money accumulated and it be
right.
for...
It's like a healthcare IRA is what it is.
Another bucket.
It's a bucket, but it's your bucket. You own the bucket.
But it created now, you think so. Now, let me think about
well,
it. Because 401ks and IRAs, how are they doing now in the stock market? How'd that come out?
Well, it depends what you put in your bucket.
Nah.
If you put stocks in it, you're right. Yeah, you're hurting. That's true. No, you're absolutely
right. So your
right.
health care savings
if you put
account.
Federal Reserve notes in it. Good luck with that, too. But, you know.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about this. Now, there are some people, they played the game. They said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this health savings thing. It's a, you know, they socially and economically engineered me into thinking that's a good idea.
Right.
Okay? So you take this money and you put it where? In the mattress? I mean, where does this go?
It goes into a bank. You can invest it in whatever you want. You can put it in a bank account, in CDs, in stocks, in bonds. Mine's just in, you know, a bank account making 2% or whatever.
Okay, so you take this money, you put it over in there, and you create. And I would imagine a lot of people, they have these different health care plan, money market, you know, safe
yeah.
pinky swear.
Yeah.
It'll never go down.
Treasury bonds, whatever you want. You can pick just like anything else.
It's a bucket.
It's a bucket. Yeah, it's a bucket.
People are going to want that bucket. I bet you that's a big bucket. You know, people doing this, I mean, you're talking...
I've been doing it 10 years.
I'll bet you it's billions of dollars.
Oh, for everybody that's done it? Sure, and you're right. I know where you're going. All they have to do is pass a new law, and Obama says, well, you know, under the plan, all you rich people with your own personal buckets with these health savings accounts can't put new money in, and maybe we'll just make you dump some of that into our bucket, or, you know, I know.
Yeah. No, you create a bucket of money, they are going to go get that bucket, and you won't even know it. You know, you got time to read an 1,100-page bill? You know, that's why Dr. Paul, it's so good to have him there because he just goes, well, this isn't constitutional. Debbie Kidd, that's her article is about, saying they don't have the authority to even talk about this stuff. Stop creating buckets, all right? We're done. So now we got, you know, this money goes to fund something. They got to protect the buckets. We want to keep the buckets. We don't want people dissenting against buckets, okay? That's how we make. You know, I'm telling you, this bucket thing, I just came up with it. I was on with Bud Burrell last week, and it started to make sense to me. I'm starting to get with all this, you know, all of these Mass nations of government do to socially and economically engineer you into diverting your money in some new line on withholding. You know, it's like you got your FICA in there, and then all of a sudden, here comes Mrs. FICA, and she likes to shop, okay? So I'm telling you, it's going to get really expensive. And it's, you know, IRAs and 401ks and income tax and Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, it are just buckets of money that they have the ability to accumulate in some places so that they can take it, or they at least get access to it or some of it, and then they want to get more of it. They change the law, just how it works. So now we are in a position to where there people are starting to go, I don't want to be in your bucket. All right. And I sure as heck don't want to, you know, create a bucket that it's owed by my grandchildren aren't even born yet. You know, in that bucket of money you got over there, they owe $300,000 of it. You got it on you? You know, you're born and they're like, hey, man, you don't got it on you? Well, I'll tell you what, you know, we'll cut it down to $250,000 and you'll take this RFID chip. Or if your parents will, you know, put you into the military and Don and I went through this. Between our two sons, we have Forrest and Corsair. They're about a year and a half apart. When Forrest went to get his learner's permit for driver's license, learner's permit, done. A little bit later, my other son goes in. They go, oh, I'm sorry. You got to sign this piece of paper that says when he hits 18, he automatically goes into Selective Service. Automatically. By signing this. He's not even of age. I'm signing for him to be added on to the King's
List or whatever.
And I'm going, wow, I'm not signing. I'm not doing it. You got to beg your mom, man. You got whatever you can come up with. You need to, because I ain't doing it. We went away. I'm not doing it. And I complained, talked to state legislator. I mean, I went through the gambit. But the thing was, is just to make a point, at least to my son, so that he knew how important this was. But what's important to a 15 and a half year old?
Driving.
Man, want a limb? Not a problem. You know, I want to drive. That's my freedom, is driving on the government plantation roads. So, you know, these are the trade-offs that you make. You know, this is how they get you. It's called social and economic engineering. So now we're looking at the question we're going to get back to. Are we in a police state? I mean, can we just go by wiki definition here? It's pretty clear.
Yeah. So the answer to every question was yes. And I can think of 100 examples.
So why would somebody say we're not?
Well, you know, the crux of the argument I have with, you know, a lot of my friends, it's not just Alan, but this is a common, you know, disease, especially among these so-called limited government Republican types, is, you know, no matter how much overwhelming evidence there is of a police state that I present to them, I mean, you know, I look at Freedom's Phoenix Daily and InfoWars, and I'll send these statist believers a little story. Like, for example, here was one that stood out. A SWAT team raided a food co-op in Ohio. I mean, these are people that are, you know, farmers selling eggs or whatever. These guys came in with the, you know, black Kevlar and the full auto M16s and accosted the family for 5 hours, scared the crap out of all their kids because they may have been selling produce illegally or something like that, right? So I go, look, guys, I mean, is this a police state or what? That some hapless, unarmed farmers and are being accosted by military police SWAT, you know, type SWAT teams. Well, you know, sometimes they make mistakes. I get that argument. Oh, it's just a mistake or an overreaction. I get that one. Well, you're only telling me one side of the story. We really don't know what those evil egg farmers might have done. You know, you're not telling us. Three, they're isolated incidents. That's a famous one. You know, oh, it's isolated. You know, this really, it's just an aberration. And you get the fourth argument. Oh, but we have courts, and the police may be punished later if they overreached or they over whatever. And the plain fact is, all of those arguments are complete bullshit.
Whoa, you can't say that.
I can't say that.
Yeah, I hope you guys hit the button. That was nasty. You nasty boy.
Oh, well.
I whacked him. There's punishment. FCC,
right.
don't care.
Punishment, man. Oh, really? You're not allowed to say that?
Yeah, government, man.
Oh.
Go, you think this was? You're on the free, this is government airways.
Hey, they say that on TV.
I know Chris Matthews, man. He was GD'ing all the heck for that guy that was the
GD
gun.
You brought a GD gun. BS. Can you say BS?
Yes, you can.
Okay. So, you know, that's kind of that's the gist of the argument I always have with these guys. No matter how egregious the police state violation, whether it's, you know, jail police beating up teenage girls on camera in a jail, they'll always excuse it somehow by saying, well, they're criminals, or they shouldn't have mouthed off to the cop, or if she hadn't have stolen that car, it would have been okay, which supposedly somehow justifies two cops beating the crap out of a 100-pound woman or tasing old ladies. I mean, this stuff goes on and on and on every day. In fact, one of the things, I think I found it on Freedom's Phoenix, it says that there are currently an estimated 40,000 SWAT team style raids at least a year, conducted every year, and most of them are for drug crimes and, you know, that
Yeah, I think his name is Randy Balco, and he's with Cato, I think.
Yeah.
So Randy, we've had him on the air before, and when he first started this study, and what he did is he was saying, you know, it's amazing how many of these raids there are. And when he found this immediately he comes across all these egregious examples of they went into the wrong place. The homeowner's woken up 3 a.m, they're busted into his kid's bedroom, and he shoots them, and they put him on death row for killing a cop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, he happened to be black, shot a white cop that was related to the police chief, so guess what's going to happen there, you know, and that, so these are the kind of things that happen all the time,
over and over. Or, you know, most of the time, the homeowner, the innocent homeowner, or even if he's a pot dealing homeowner, they just get shot dead.
Yeah, no, that was what was, once he realized they were police, you know, he put down his gun or he would have been dead. But, you know, what'd you expect was going to happen? And this is by, you know, 40,000 a year? I mean, please.
Right. So, I mean, when I get these lame arguments about, oh, these are isolated or the whatever, I'm like,
no, this is
standard operating procedure. And when do you ever hear of the police getting punished? I mean, remember even that guy, the rogue Chandler cop that shot that woman and killed her at the Walgreens.
You know, that was a big thing. Remember that we made a big deal here. It was a woman that faked a prescription to get some kind of painkiller or something. I don't know if she was addicted or whatever, because she could or whatever. Yeah. And she had a small child in the back seat. And she lived in an upscale, you know, so she was, you know, if not wealthy, wasn't poor, but she'd go to her local pharmacist and she wants to get it. Well, they call it, they think it's fake. And what do? She starts to drive off. He shoots her.
Yeah, right through her driver's window.
Just kills her. And I'm going, wow.
And says she tried to run me over.
Yeah, no, and this is, so we cover this stuff, and it's getting worse. It's getting a lot worse. We're going to talk about a lot more getting worse here on Declare Your Independence with me and Eric Cartridge in just a little bit. You stay tuned.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and in studio, Eric Cartridge, good friend of mine, freedom fighter. You know, we got to get into that. How would, you know, I'll just tell you this real quick, you know, whet your appetite. How I first started meeting Eric, you know, I've heard him before and so on, and seen him at various things. He's got talent. He's always at different events playing. It was during the McCain recall.
Oh, yeah.
And this was done back in 2000 or something, because it was McCain-Feingold, McCain- Kennedy
healthcare. He was trying to, McCain was trying to do Obamacare in 2000.
Oh, yeah, but I bet he's against it now, you know.
He keeps waffling. We don't know.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a Republican bucket, and he's going to lead your Republican bucket charge, you watch. And what happened was, back in 2000, and it was, gun bans and stuff, too.
Yeah, he wanted to ban gun shows, yeah.
And it was just so many things. He was working with the left, and it was just ridiculous because he was part of this, he's building up trying to be this middle guy running for president thing, and you know, Republican bucket. So what happened was, here in Arizona, regardless of how the lamestream media, the media so last century around the country loving on McCain, we were like, are you kidding me? So there was a lot of people that got together, and he started a McCain recall petition drive, and it was serious. It had an office. It was building up, going great, and it was going to happen, and then 9/11 came, and they go, well, you know, probably now's not a good time for us. I'm like, now's the best time. So anyway, so that kind of stopped that. And during that time, that's where they're always at all the protests, playing their guitars and having a good time. And the one thing I wanted to go into, you were talking about off air, we were talking about how they're just arresting and putting people in jail for stupid stuff. And it brought to mind the judges that were jailing children for profit in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and Wilkes-Barre, Scranton or something up there, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember that was because I used to live in Wilkes-Barre for a little bit. And what happened was these guys were taking children, any excuse they could come up with. They came before them, you get juvie detention year, whatever, something, because they got paid by the state for housing these guys, and they gave the judges a kickback.
Yeah.
And they got caught with this stuff.
Oh.
To think that this doesn't go on all the time. It's like task. You know, you get a marijuana drug treatment kind of got to do. I mean, you know, I'm like, oh, you're killing me.
Well, check this out. This goes on. It's an institution here among adult prisoners. I think I got this probably from Freedom's Phoenix at some point. Basically, the scam is you give people harsh sentences for whatever, any kind of drug offense or whatever. Okay, you're in prison for 5 years. You go to this kind of private contracted prison / work farm, and they get the taxpayers pay for the prison, you know, so much per prisoner, right? You know, the Corrections Association of America or corporation. I think it's CCA or, you know, there's a bunch of these private prisons.
Yeah, it used to be
prisons.
Whack and Hut and
yeah,
so on.
Right.
And then they get a bad rap, so they change their name
to
it's like Blackwater goes
Blackwater
to Z or something.
Yeah,
you know, same
yeah.
thing.
So, you know, the taxpayers pay for, you know, these private prisons per head, you know, to house these prisoners. So, you know, they're making a profit off each prisoner they get. And then they're sentenced so that they have to work, and they are working for, you know, corporate stuff like telecommunications companies, answering calls, doing, you know, all kinds of manual labor, whatever, little factory work things. And the pay, get this, is anywhere from 12 cents an hour to a maximum of $1.45 an hour. So, and they have to work for these slave wages, literally for years, for the years they're sentenced.
Okay, now why? And happy to do it, because dang it, they can buy some real food, okay?
Don't get me
now,
into it.
Now, think about this. Where do we used to, when we were in school, who were we making fun for doing this?
The Germans.
And
the Nazis.
And then
the Russians.
And the Chinese.
Right.
Are we in a police state?
Yes.
I don't know. You can call in and tell us we're not. Good luck. 800-313-9443. We'll be right back on Declare Your Independence.